Tax collectors and sinners were drawn to Jesus and to his teaching. When they came to meet him and listen to him, Jesus welcomed them. He invited them to his table. He ate and drank with them. But the Pharisees and scribes were not amused. What is meant as criticism, this fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. Also an insult, Jesus wears as a badge of honor. His message draws in sinners, and that brings Jesus joy. So Jesus responds in telling three parables of lost things. The first two are in our reading, the lost sheep and the lost coin. The third is the infamous prodigal son. Jesus tells these stories so that the Pharisees and scribes will understand their sin in judging others. And he wants them to repent of that sin of judgment and join the celebration that's already happening in heaven when people find forgiveness and a fresh start in life. This is why each parable invites us to celebrate what is lost. The shepherd, rejoice with me. The woman, rejoice with me. The loving father, come in to the feast and celebrate what was lost has now been found. Jesus wants us to stop judging one another, pointing the finger at someone else and calling them a sinner. When we do that, we are telling them and we're telling the world that they don't deserve God's attention. They're not worthy of God's love. It's a sad irony that so much harm has been done in the name of Jesus and in the name of Christianity when we stand in judgment of other human beings and label them, or call our world or our culture sinners or enemies of God. We have forgotten in our saying such things, or we have not yet realized that we are all sinners. King David in our psalm today says, I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, O Lord, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. The Apostle Paul says that Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost. How can Paul call himself the chief of sinners? Because Paul knows just how extensive the poison of his sin lurked in his own heart. Other people cannot see our hidden shame and our sin and our guilt, but God can. But Paul is also able to empathize with himself first. He says that he lived a destructive life because of his ignorance. Not an excuse, but a reason for his sin. He did not realize the full extent of his broken spirit and the damage that he had done to others and to himself. Jesus will say similar words about our condition. He says so on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. They don't yet realize that they're crucifying the Lord of glory. They did not know that they were executing the true Messiah and hope of the nations. They did not know. There's great freedom in knowing, in coming to terms with our sinful condition. There's hope when we discover how shattered our lives can become. There's joy in knowing how profound wickedness has poisoned our lives and our hearts. One pastor said it this way: cheer up. You are a worse sinner than you've ever dared imagine. But you are more loved than you ever dared hope. Corrie ten Boom, who hid Jewish families from Nazis in the Netherlands during World War II, said this: there is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. King David, the Apostle Paul, the tax collectors and sinners all had the same problem. They had the same condition, and they had the same confession. Patrick, the great saint and missionary to Ireland, his first two words of his confession are, "Patrick, sinner." Patrick, the sinner. As the prophet Isaiah said, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's why at the beginning of our service, we confess our sins together with one voice. We are all sinners. God loves sinners. He empathizes with our ignorance. He extends mercy, not judgment. He offers forgiveness, not condemnation. There is a dark relief to the soul when we find out that the disease that has been plaguing us, we finally find out what it is that has been plaguing us all those years. Finally, we know what has been making us sick, tired, and hopeless. And with a good physician, we will now have hope of getting better. That's what the sin condition is. But in Christ, we don't just have the hope of getting better, we have the promise. Our sins are washed away by the water, the Word, and the Holy Spirit in holy baptism. We come to the font filthy, but we leave clean. We come to the font lost in our sins, but we leave drenched with forgiveness. We come as sinners, but we leave named, royal daughters and sons of God the Most High. We stop calling each other sinners, and we acknowledge that we're in it together. Because that is who we are, sinners. But God pursues sinners. He welcomes, he befriends sinners. He loves sinners. Sinners are his speciality. It is his joy. Christ died for sinners, and he rose again from the dead to give us victory over sin and death. We start believing that God can redeem even the messiest life, even our own. We begin to empathize with the ignorant, including ourselves, because we too were once ignorant of the full power of God. We are now ready to join the angels, the archangels, and the whole company of heaven to celebrate at the feast, at the table, this Jesus who welcomes sinners and eats with them. The table is spread before you this morning. The bread and the wine have been prepared. Jesus is our host. He welcomes us. He invites us to eat and drink with him. And he invites us to receive his true body and blood as spiritual food. He welcomes the lost to find themselves safe and secure in the loving embrace of the Father. Oh, how blessed it is to know, were as scarlet my transgression, it shall be as white as snow. by thy blood and bitter passion. For these words I now believe, Jesus sinners doth receive. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.